Very good morning to each one of you. Appreciate those who are with us today, especially those who may be visiting. Encourage you to come back when you have the opportunity. It is that time of year when there is a number of people out on vacations. Church camp is starting, and so we just want to make sure that you know that you're in our prayers as we travel. And if you're traveling with us or going away from us, we will keep you in our prayers. Along the lines of church camp, if there is any items that you would like to donate for High Valley Christian Youth Camp and you missed a deadline, feel free to bring those in anytime before next week, and I'll be glad to take those out to the camp. At this time, let's go to God in prayer. Holy and righteous Father, we just thank you for this time to assemble in spirit and truth to worship your holy name. Father, as we have sung these songs, remind us that you are worthy of our praise. May we carry these thoughts in our hearts as we go out through this week. As we open up your word and we read and study it, may it penetrate our soul and be able to affect us and change us and transform us to the people you need us to be. Forgive us of what we have sinned. And Father, we pray that we'll be humble, repentant, and strive to do your will always. Father, we know that there are many among us today that are a broken people. And Father, we pray that we will come to you for healing. And Father, we pray that the words from your scriptures will be encouraging and challenging and be able to help us in our Christian walk. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We thank you for him dying on the cross for our sins and being raised from the grave and gives us that hope of eternal life. So in your son's name we pray, amen. A few years ago, many of you may remember when there was some tampering with some of the pain reliever bottles of medicine in stores. Since then, companies now make their products tamper-proof. And you can find most bottles have some type of warning label. Says, do not use if seal is broken. Today we're taught that if someone other than us breaks the seal on medicine or food for that matter, then we are not to use it. The product is useless. There seems to be, because of this and other things in our society, a negative connotation when it comes to broken things. For example, if you have a child and they have some toys that are broken, we usually discard them, we throw them away. Or maybe there are some tools around the house or dishes or even our electronic gadgets, they break. And we just usually throw them away. Someone has made the comment that we live in a throwaway society. Rarely do we fix things. And for most part, it's not cost effective. I remember a few years ago, I took a weed trimmer to get fixed to the repairman. And it was over $60, and brought it home. It was still broken, and went to the store to check out a new one. For just a few more dollars, and over $60, I could have had a brand new weed trimmer. And so we live in a society where to buy a new product is almost as cheap or not that much more expensive than fixing things. So in our eyes, in our society's eyes, broken things are very useless. In fact, we throw them away and even consider them trash. So we don't have a very good view of broken things. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Solomon writes this, and he reminds us, notice in verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And then notice verse 3, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. This is a reminder, and there's other verses in the Bible that remind us that sometimes broken things are useful. They have a place. So the question is, how will God use broken things? How does God use broken people? Number one, we need to realize that there are some things in this life that are useful only when they are broken. There's some things that are only useful when they're broken. You think about breakfast this morning. Maybe some of you had eggs. Can only be useful when they're broken. We must understand also that there's other things. Well, maybe the seal on our food. A farmer breaks ground to plant the grain. He breaks the grain raises. You have to break the grain to be able to provide the flour to make bread. And the process goes on and along that line. So broken things brings us what we need. We also can think about the human body. Sometimes there are situations where the physical bones in our body don't grow correctly or they heal incorrectly and they need to be broken in order for them to be put right. And even though it may be unpleasant to think of, sometimes doctors and surgeons have to go through that process to make it better or at least help avoid some pain or some disability. The Bible also talks about that there are some things that we need to that can be used only when it's broken. And you think about in Gideon's day in Judges chapter 7, those pitchers that Gideon was instructed to use that covered the torches that could only be used when they were broken and they used to defeat the Midianite armies. And then we think in the New Testament in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, the alabaster box or jar that was used to hold costly oil of spikenard. And the ointment was then poured on Jesus to anoint him. And it's reminded that as long as that stayed in the bottle or that jar or that canister, it was really of no value until it was poured out and broken and usable. Then there is the broken bread that Jesus uses in Matthew 14, verse 10, to feed the hungry. The Bible goes on and mentions other things that were broken. But the point of the matter is some things need to be broken to be used. The same is true with people. The Bible talks about people's broken will. Many times people are filled with pride and selfishness and worldliness and other sins. In order for us to be used and for God to use these people throughout Scripture, they needed to be broken, we might sometimes say. And sometimes there are people who are broken. It's no fault of their own. They're striving to live a righteous life. They're trying to be pleasing in God's sight. And yet maybe they lose their health or their finances or there's other major losses. And yet they're broken. And think about Job. As we read the book of Job, he was broken. And no fault of his own, no sin that he committed. And although that's the big debate through the book, he was broken. He lost his family and he lost his health and wealth. And yet through this period of great brokenness, he still stayed faithful to God. In Job 13 and verse 15, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And then there's Moses. Moses had the best Egypt could offer. He was in the Pharaoh's court. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and yet he struck an Egyptian, and the brokenness began. He fled to the wilderness, and for 40 years was a shepherd. And then we see that his life continues to have brokenness as he goes to Egypt and brings out those children of Israel. And then we see their trials and grumblings and murmurings and rebellions. Moses continued to be broken over and over, at many times, not any fault of his own, but he was just doing the will of God. And then there is David. Many times in his life, he was also broken. But on the contrary to Moses, we see that sometimes David's brokenness is because of his own sin. And then there is Jonah, who underwent a time of brokenness when he tried to run away from God. And he encountered the storm and then was tossed into the sea and then swallowed by the large fish prior to going to Nineveh. And then we think about Samson. He experienced brokenness. In fact, he was doing very well, we might say, in one sense, in a worldly sense. He was very prideful of his strength. And yet when his secret was revealed, he was humbled and he was broken. His eyes gouged out. He was made to be a slave and entertain the Philistines. And then you think about the apostles. As they walked and encountered Jesus those 3.5 years. But then when Jesus went to the cross and he died, they were broken. They were disillusioned and disappointed and discouraged for over 50 days. There was some doubts. Although Jesus would rose from the grave and encountered and walked with them, there was still a sense of brokenness. And then we see Saul. Saul, before he became Paul, was very prideful. Yet when he encountered the Lord on the road to Damascus, he was blinded and fasted for 3 days and did not drink water. And he was baptized and transformed. But it came out of his brokenness. See, the concept of what God uses, brokenness, deals with a process of living, of challenging our soul and our spirit to make us a stronger person and draw close to Him. And as we look at some of these examples briefly, we see that sometimes brokenness comes out of no fault of our own. Sometimes it's the circumstances of life, a life crisis. Other times it is because of our sin. It is because of our rebellion. It is because of our arrogance and pride. And that brokenness provides an opportunity to repent and live back in the view of God. As we think about this, regardless of how we are broken, we need to understand that God uses broken people. Number two, many people in the Bible were broken. Again, you think about Job. He is broken. Here is a life crisis. He loses his health, his wealth, his family. Many people today are broken because of crisis in their life. It's no fault of their own. They have a spouse that leaves them and cheats on them and ends in divorce. Or maybe there is a health issue, maybe like a heart attack or Alzheimer's. Again, a life crisis. Or maybe there is financial setback or a loved one passes away. Many times these things cause brokenness in a person's life. And if Job teaches us anything, that in crisis we must continue to draw close to God. But then we think about Peter. Peter brought brokenness on himself. As we see Jesus going to the cross, we see Peter denies Christ. And yet when he realized that he was a broken man, and much of that brokenness came because of his pride and self-righteousness. But notice after Peter humbled himself and Jesus appears to him in John 21, Jesus then tells him to feed my sheep. Jesus only tells Peter this after he is broken. And then you think about Psalms 31, verse 12. David said, I have been forgiven like one who is dead. Or I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. Do you realize that it took his sin and him realizing his sin for him to be broken, to be usable by God? See, it was only after David had sinned that he became known as a man after God's own heart. Samson lived a pretty prideful life, but he was used best in his times of humility and brokenness. In fact, his last act was probably his greatest act, and it was when he was broken. Saul was a persecutor of the church when we are introduced to him in Scripture. His goal was in persecuting the church to destroy it, according to Galatians 1 and 13. Yet it took brokenness. It took him encountering blindness and hunger and thirst for his heart to be changed. It took brokenness to draw him closer to the Lord. As we survey these scriptures and these individuals, it is during their time of brokenness that the greatest opportunity of spiritual growth can take place. See, people in Scripture who experienced brokenness were never the same after their experience. Neither will we be. Some lessons can only be learned in the time of brokenness. See, we would have never had Psalms 51 if David had never been confronted by Nathan and realized that his sin had caused division between him and God. And Psalm 51 is David's brokenness being revealed, his confession of his sin, repenting of his sin. We think about Samson again, and Israel would have never been released from the Philistines at this time if it wouldn't been for Samson's brokenness. Now you think about the very gospel that is to be preached and proclaimed in the world, and yet would it have reached the shores of North America if it hadn't been for the conversions and struggles and the zeal of Paul to preach the gospel? And you think about the Christians at Corinth. Where would we be today if we didn't have that letter for the church today? But that letter is written during a time of brokenness in the lives of the Christian church at Corinth. Brokenness. God uses brokenness. But as we think about this, number three, God can make us stronger through brokenness. Sometimes we feel like David when he says that he felt like a broken vessel or a broken glass. Sometimes our world seems just to fall apart, doesn't it? Sometimes the brokenness hits us, or we hit brokenness like a wall. And it's like we're going through life and things are going well, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the finances take a turn. We have a loved one that suddenly dies, or we're caught in a sin. Brokenness. And there is a point where we have a choice when we hit the wall. It's at this point that we have a choice of two directions. We can continue in the suffering and the pain and bitterness, or we can turn and draw closer to God. It is this moment of brokenness that is very crucial, because oftentimes we describe it as the depths of hell. We describe it as a low point in our life, a dark time in our life. And what we do is a deciding factor. See, once we reach this deep and dark point in our life, we come to a turning point. See, the turning point is a decision we must make. And this is where we will either continue to go deeper in sin, or we'll choose to follow God. So how do we deal with the brokenness? It really depends on our foundation of faith. What are you doing today to nurture your life? What are you doing today to prepare for that broken wall? The old Boy Scout motto says, be prepared. It's very applicable for us today. As you and I travel in this life, there are going to be trials and tribulations. There are going to be that times and brokenness. But now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to be aware of that brokenness. Now is the time to realize that in this life, there is going to be times where things break. There are going to be relationships that break. There are going to be finances break. Sometimes our spirit breaks, and sometimes our spiritual direction breaks. But now is a time to prepare. See, when we hit that wall, when we hit that brokenness, it's not that we necessarily are sinful. Sometimes it happens because we are even innocent. We need to remember that being people of faith is going to bring some persecution and trials in our life. We need to also remember that being a Christian does not provide us with all the answers, but it does give us a deal with the problems. And so the Lord, throughout the scriptures, reminds us that we're going to experience brokenness for a variety of reasons. But it's this brokenness that the Lord can use. It's this brokenness that can draw us closer to Him. Notice Psalms 51, verse 16 through 17. This is David speaking in his time of brokenness. And notice what he says. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. See, David understands in the midst of his brokenness, this is when God is able to use him. This is when God can use him to do great things in brokenness. I'm reminded of a child's Play-Doh that's left out of the container. It's hard, and it becomes very solid, like a rock, a stone. When it's kept in that container, it's pliable, it's moldable, it's usable. And so when you think about that, that when we are drawn near to God, is that's when we are pliable, when we're usable. But when we're outside of God, we become hard, and He can't do much with us. And so it is for the Christian. We need to renew our lives with God each and every day to be moldable and usable and continue to be used by God. Well, how do we do that? And the Bible reminds us that we need to draw close to God through studying of His Word. We need to study the Bible. We need to read the Bible just not to get through it, but to read the Bible to understand that the Spirit of God is speaking to us and His Word is applicable to us, and it's there to train us and to guide us and rebuke us and help us in all of good works and good deeds. But we also need to combine that with prayer. We need to spend time talking with God. Many times that we sin is because we have gotten away from talking to God. We got away from spending time with God. And so we need to nurture that relationship. We need to meditate on God's Word, number three. We need some quiet time with God. You know, sometimes in the family, we will sometimes say, you know, we need a family meeting. And we need some time together. We need some time alone. Because sometimes life gets so hectic and everybody in the family is going different directions. There are sometimes in the family we just need to come together and regroup and replan and rethink and just get to know each other. And the same is true with God. We need to think about God. We need to dwell on God and not allow all the external things to take our mind off of God, because these things lead us away from God. We need to have godly friends who will encourage us. I was always told when I was in school and by other faithful preachers that would guide me along the way, you always need a Barnabas and or a Paul in your life. We need someone in our life that will encourage us, like a Barnabas. We need somebody in our life like a Paul who will teach us and train us. And so it is, we need those godly influences, people in our lives who are practicing what they preach to nurture us and encourage us and challenge us. And then last, we need to use our gifts. What good is it if we know the book, chapter, and verse of every passage and yet do not apply it? See, the Bible reminds us that we need to be just not hearers of the word, but doers as well. Use your gifts and talents to honor God. See, as our souls are renewed each and every day, as we go through this spiritual discipline, it will determine how we will be used or how we our direction we turn in our brokenness. As we think about those moments of brokenness, notice the difference between King Saul and King David. See, both kings had a moment or moments of brokenness. And as we look at the King Saul's life, we see that he never turns back to God. His spiritual foundation was weak. And yet when he was confronted with sin, he keeps rebelling and disobeying God. On the other hand, when King David was confronted with his sin, he was broken and repented. You think about Job. Job was a man who was broken. His family, as we mentioned earlier, was taken away. Finances was taken away. Everything was lost, even his health. And yet, through it all, through his ordeal, he continued to stay steadfast with God. Job reminds us that sometimes there are things in our life that we don't have any control over, but we need to continue to follow God. Paul is the same way. Paul, when he became a Christian, continued to experience brokenness. And yet he drawed near to God. Judas, for example, turned his back on God in the midst of his brokenness, but Peter sought forgiveness. See, at the point of brokenness, there is a decision. And if you look at the chart that's on the screen, you will see I divided that in a hard road or the easy road. And the choice is ours. We live in a day and time that don't like the hard road. And maybe that's why many leave the faith. But the Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 5 that when we persevere, it leads to character, and a character, hope. See, the hard road involves faith. It involves a spiritual discipline. It involves patience. And it also involves God's grace. It allows that, reminds us that it's steadfastness, continuing to draw near to God. Do you think it was ever easy for Job to draw near to God in his time of brokenness? Probably not. In fact, as you read the book of Job, that's really part of the question. And yet he remained steadfast. And we could look again at Paul and others in Scripture who took the hard road, Peter, and yet they were steadfast. And in their time of brokenness, they relied on God. But on the other hand, they look at the easy road. And this is the easy road that results in anger and doubt and cynicism and criticism. And it blames others for our faults. It makes excuses for our situations. It is a selfish attitude. It's the attitude that says, well, all those Christians down there are hypocrites. It's the person who blames, well, it's their fault that my kids are lost. It's this blaming attitude of taking the easy road in a time of brokenness. Brokenness is always difficult. And yet sometimes it's easier for people in their mind to go this direction. But notice this is a direction without God. It takes one away from the church. It takes one away from God's people. And as we go down and look down these two roads, the easy road or the hard road, at the end we see the hard road is better. It draws us closer to God. Even though we might be broken and it might be difficult, in the end, drawing near to God is always the best way. See, the hard road involves faith and not walking by sight. And it at the end of this road is joy and peace and eternal life. We must remember, as Psalms 34 and verse 18 says, the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. We need to remember that when we are trying to make this decision in this brokenness, dark time, it is the Lord who will see us through if we continue to walk by faith. See, God desperately wants to work his will in each of our lives. He wants us to overcome like Job. He wants us to overcome like Paul. He wants us to overcome. And sometimes it may not be until the very end of our life that we wake up. See, Samson found healing at the end of a wasted life. And yet it took him to be broken for him to see that. King Manasseh was a wicked and evil king in Israel's history, but he found healing after Jerusalem when God broke him. After his rebellion, we see in 2 Chronicles 33, 9 through 16, a wasted life, but God used it at the last moment. See, God wants to work, and he will use broken lives. There's a hymn that's not in our songbook, written by a member of the church, but the chorus goes, O Lord, who uses broken things, who through broken clouds gives us sweet, sweet rain, who gives us bread from broken grain, O Lord, make me stronger through broken things. That's what the Bible's been telling us all along. Whether you look at Paul or David or Solomon, Saul or a number of injured people, we see that God works best when we're broken. Not when we are full of ourselves, not when we are prideful and selfish, but when we are humbled. Humbled by life's circumstances. You know, one of my experiences through my life, I've always had a better reception with Bible studies and people interested in the message of the Bible in prison ministry. Over the years, I've had a number of correspondence and studies and several baptisms resulted because of prison ministry. But isn't it interesting? I have also been on a number of campaigns and door knockings in nice neighborhoods. And if I was to compare the response to those two areas of evangelism, undoubtedly I've had better response in prison. Why is it? See, people who hit rock bottom, people who had a worldly life, can sometimes awaken when they enter those prison bars. And they realize they need something else. They cannot rely on themselves. Whereas people in good neighborhoods have yet to discover that they are really sinners. Brokenness is the difference. As we conclude this morning, have you felt the sense of brokenness? Maybe it's because of your sin. You've rebelled against God. You've been prideful. It's my way, the highway. You've been arrogant, selfish. Or maybe you've experienced brokenness because of maybe it's health or finances or relationships or a death of a loved one. Brokenness comes in all forms and sizes. Isn't it no wonder that when we think about the gospel, it's centered around the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God sent his own son to die to be broken. Although his bones were not broken, the Bible clearly says, but his blood and his body was pierced. And we see that his spirit, as he died on the cross, was of great sorrow for those who were lost. The invitation this morning, song this morning, is bring Christ your broken life. The song chorus says, bring Christ your broken life so marred by sin, he will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years he will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Bring Christ your broken life. See, we have an invitation like that, and there can be a song like that because we have a Savior who was broken. And he was willing to die and be broken for you and I. This morning, if you have experienced the brokenness from sin or life, will you come and answer the call of the words of this hymn? Come now as we stand and sing.